Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:14 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is August 22nd. And what we're seeing at the moment is a little strength coming back into the US dollar. And that's despite the fact that what we have had has been just a cacophony of bearish comments about what people expect from it. But the most important fact is that it has been trending lower already for 8 months. And it is right in the region of, the dollar index at least, is right in the region of the lower side of what is already a more than 2 year range. And this is a natural area where we might anticipate that some support would start to come back in, and not least because there is such a large oversold condition relative to the trend mean following what had been a really very persistent decline, and particularly over the last few months. And it's important here because what happened in 2014 and early 2015 was a rollicking bull market for the dollar, and we had a very strong advance, and it has been confined to this range, and this range has been quite volatile, but it has held on to the vast majority of those gains, and that 90 area, which had previously offered an area of resistance, has continued to offer support over the context of this very lengthy range. If the dollar is going to firm from here, then that is something that may put pressure on some of the commodity complex. It's also something that would be probably welcomed in Europe, probably welcomed in Japan, and probably also would contribute to maybe a little bit of underperformance by Wall Street. There is no denying the fact that the weaker dollar has boosted the earnings of overseas earnings for US companies. And I spoke at length yesterday about where the yen was relative to the dollar, and the dollar is firming a little bit in here, but this was not a dynamic move. It really does need upside follow through. It needs to sustain a move back above that 110 area to confirm a return to demand dominance. But the Nikkei is back in the region of the trend mean, and it was pretty much unchanged in here today. The euro is also pausing around this 120 area, and again, it wasn't a dynamic move, but what we are beginning to see is some evidence that demand is beginning to return in the region of the trend mean for the Eurostox index. And when you look at that on the weekly basis, it has been coming down slower than it went up. When you look at Germany, which has been quite clearly the leading performer in Europe, then it is right in the region of the trend mean, and also beginning to give us at least some evidence that there is a return to demand dominance in here. When we look at the UK, then the FTSE 350 index has outperformed the FTSE 100 in pretty robust fashion over the last 5 years. It is also, but the shape of the advance is quite similar to the FTSE over the last year, and it is now firming from the region of the trend mean once more. It's being aided by the weakness of the pound, but the AIM 100, which is the small caps, is outperforming the large caps in a pretty impressive manner here, and not least because they are much more sensitive to the weakness of the currency. They don't get nearly as much competition from overseas for these developing businesses. And the reaction, such as it was from that pullback around the 5,000 level, was comparatively both short-lived and shallow, and now the index has broken on the upside once more. When we look at this on a much longer-term basis, going back to 2005, for example, then this is a clear breakout from a pretty lengthy range between 2010 and 2016, and there is very little to suggest that this isn't still a demand-dominated environment, and if we were to think about the medium term, it's not at all beyond the bounds possibility that UK small caps are going to outperform over the lengthy medium term, and of course part of the reason for that is because of the weakness of the pound. And versus the euro, the pound moved to a new reaction low in here today. The 110 area does represent an area of support, at least on a potential basis, but it has not yet given us any evidence that support is coming back in the region of that 110 area. A clear upward dynamic similar to what we saw back in 2016 would be required to confirm that support is coming in here, and in the meantime, if we look at history, and particularly over the last decade, the UK has used the pound as a pressure release valve. It is a very clear example of why a sovereign nation wishes to have its own currency, that they allow the currency to act as a tailwind for the economy during times of stress by absorbing some of the pressures that are on on a macroeconomic front. And that has been one of the great challenges for the Eurozone, because there are such acute differences between the strong performers and the weak performers, and trying to tailor a monetary policy for all of them at the same time is practically impossible. And the answer, of course, has been to flood the market with liquidity. When we look at the ECB's balance sheet, and with Mario Draghi talking at Jackson Hole this week, then what they're probably going to start talking about is what they're going to do with all the money that they have printed. 2.265 trillion euro in really just the last 3 years. It's such an enormous sum. What are they going to do with all this money? Now, it is something that is probably going to remain in the system for the lengthy medium term. One of the reasons that you have not had the same rise in populist tendencies in Europe that you have had in places like the UK or the USA is because there isn't nearly the same stock ownership, and bonds have done so spectacularly well, not least because of government largesse and central bank largesse, that you haven't had the same problems in some of those economies that you have had in both the UK or the USA. It is very much open to question whether that can remain the case if we get a problem in the bond markets. Certainly, when we look at that very long-term trend in the 10-year Treasury Total Return Index, it's still a consistent advance. And until we get a lower rally high and a lower low, then we will not have confirmation that this bull market is over. What we can say for sure certain is that the pace of the advance has moderated. The best part of the advance was in this area between 2007 and about 2013, and now the pace of the advance has moderated, but it is still going up. And as long as it is going up, then it is going to be difficult to question the complacency of the bond bulls. But when it starts to roll over, then that is potentially going to represent a very large problem, not just for the US or for anywhere else, but also for Europe, not least because they have such an enormous overweighting in terms of fixed income, not just in government portfolios, but also in retail portfolios. If the dollar is going to continue to strengthen, then it is worth just keeping an eye on the gold market, because it is right in the region of $1,300, and this has represented an area of resistance since April. And in order to confirm that we are back in a demand-dominated environment beyond short-term steadying, it is going to have to surmount the $1,300 area. If the dollar continues to strengthen, then that will act as a bit of a brake on gold prices, and it is really for the bulls to prove at this stage whether we can see a sustained move to new recovery highs. And platinum prices have been a little bit weaker in here. They are continuing to pause around this $1,000 area. They're off the low in here today, but $1,000 has been a psychological area for much of the last year, and it really does need to sustain a move above it to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And oil prices remain in this volatile, ranging phase, but they were a little bit firmer in here today. This continues to look like a range in the region of the trend mean, but the medium-term progression of lower rally highs remains intact. The progression of lower rally highs, that is, I should, rather than say short-term or medium-term, I should define it as the since the beginning of this year. And that is still intact. What oil prices need to do is to break that progression of lower rally highs to confirm support in the region of the trend mean and really to get back above $54. If they can do that, well, then we would have a demand dominated environment once more. And it's important for some of these large oil producing companies. I've made the point on numerous occasions that big energy companies like Royal Dutch Shell are more gas producers than oil producers, and the same is true of ExxonMobil, which had been breaking lower last week. It is a little bit steadier in here today, but you can see that it was not able to hold all of the advance, and of course this is also a majority natural gas producer. So then perhaps to look at Chevron, it might give us a better indication, and then we can see that Chevron looks a lot more like Royal Dutch Shell. So there are some problems with Exxon that are not exactly evident in the other major oil producers, but nonetheless Chevron needs to find support in the region of that $100 area. It's a big level, and if it can rally from here, well then we'll still have a demand dominated environment. One of the clearest sectors where we have evidence of a demand-dominated environment is defense. That's despite the fact that we've had this uptick in political uncertainty about what's going to happen with the economy, what are they going to be able to push through, but the fact that the Trump administration is stacked full of generals or ex-generals has certainly been viewed as a positive cue for the defense sector. The fact that you have such a high degree of commonality, not just in Northrop, but in Raytheon and just about all of the others, including Boeing, would suggest that investors are betting that there is going to be additional defense spending. When we take a broader perspective and look at, for example, the technology sector, then the Nasdaq has continued to pause around this 6,000 point level, but it was up in a reasonably impressive manner in here today, up over 1%, and this continues to look like a consolidation. When we look at the news headlines and then measure it against the reality provided by the market, well, we have to simply then rely on what prices are telling us. And if we ask ourselves the very simple filter question, and that is there any evidence of type 1, 2, or 3 trend ending characteristics? The answer is no. And then have we had a little bit of an inconsistency in that the market has pulled back a bit more? It's been going sideways for a little longer relative to what we've seen since the presidential election. Well, the answer is yes. And is that normal in the context of a medium-term bull market? Absolutely. As long as the progression of higher reaction lows remains intact, as long as it is finding support in the region of the trend mean, well, then I don't think that the majority of people are going to be overly worried about this market. And this is, generally speaking, a less liquid time of the year. The VIX index has been pulling back with the somewhat firmer tone on stock markets, but volume in this market has been really quite low. And that's an indication of where we are in terms of the year and seasonality and the fact that a lot of people are on vacation. But nonetheless, what we are beginning to see is stock markets firming up once more. And there are a number of sectors that are leading higher, but they are primarily within the cyclicals sector. Those that are another way of defining them would be those that benefit from economic growth on a global basis. Synchronized global economic expansion is a catchphrase we haven't really been able to talk much about for the last 5 or 6 years, but it's certainly in evidence now, and that's helping to drive support for the mining sector, for the banking sector, for technology and defense. These are cyclical sectors. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.